Hey, I just got back from lunch. Did you finish that report yet?
Not exactly. Still working on it. I'm not finished just yet. I got a little sidetracked, but I will get them to you first thing this afternoon.
It is first thing this afternoon.
Well, yeah, I understand that, but I mean, I am working on it.
But
I'll have
what do you mean that the report isn't finished yet?
I'm still in the process of working on it. I've just been a little distracted.
Distracted. Our meeting starts in an hour.
I can have it.
No. What were you doing? Were you listening to another hunting podcast again? I swear, I give the staff in this office the freedom to do whatever they want to do as long as they meet a deadline. That is the first bullet underneath your job description. Pays attention to detail and deadline. And deadline. Are you even listening to me right now?
Welcome to episode 170 of the Whitetail Distraction Podcast. My name's Austin, and joining me in the garage of goodness, Charles Hedlund. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great. Is that what you're going to go with for here on out?
Probably not. I'm probably just going to keep trying until something sticks.
The garage of greatness.
Okay.
A little better. More better than goodness.
Call it the Podport.
Ooh. That does make sense. I like that.
I don't know. Maybe. We'll it's not that. A carport, though.
It's not.
It's a garage.
But it is a port for your car, kind of.
Pod port.
Pod port, it is.
It's funny, it's for my car, but instead we have a fucking podcast table in here. Oh, man.
The Podarage. Yeah, I mean, you know what? It's a better space for podcasting than a car anyways. I mean, imagine the space you would waste in here if there was a car
in here. Put cars in here?
Like, yeah, exactly. You know, with the table here where we podcast, there's so much more room for activities.
You're not wrong.
Right? We could do karate. We could
sit. All men and women created by go, you know
the thing.
That's not the one I was looking for.
I know.
Come on, man.
That's what I was looking for.
Anyways, we're here. It's pretty much March.
It is. I mean, it is March.
Yeah, I know. I mean, like, that's it. That's all I got. Like, it's March. There's nothing going on. It's just bleh.
There's not nothing going on. Something that we just learned earlier.
Yeah, you're right.
Right here, buddy. Stinking March, the whole month of March is now Shed Rally.
Yeah.
Instead of like a day or a weekend.
Hashtag Shed Rally.
Hashtag Shed Rally.
I went out the other day.
Did you?
Mm-hmm.
I was going to, and then it poured.
I took the e-bike out last weekend. It was Sunday. It was beautiful. We've been having some of the best weather. I mean, tell me it doesn't feel like spring when you wake up in the morning.
Dude, I know.
It won't tomorrow morning.
No, probably not.
Or, you know, the next few, but it's going to bump back up.
Dude, the other morning I walked out of the garage, out of the pod port. And it was like a little bit foggy, and it was that perfect like 50 degrees outside. Man. And I was like, you know what? It feels like a turkey hunt.
Mm-hmm.
So it like pained me to think that, but it was the first thing that popped into my brain.
It's got you going. I walked out and it was just probably the same morning. You know, that moisture's in the air and it's just like you expect. I hear a crow and I'm like, where's the gobble?
Yeah.
Like, where is it? I've been all in watching all kinds of videos, everything.
I haven't watched a video yet.
Oh my goodness. I don't know how, dude. Every single night more content drops and it's just like, I can't get enough of it.
You know how I can't do it? I am like, right now I'm like, unbelievably obsessed with a different YouTube channel. Has nothing to do with hunting at all. Okay. You ever watch Outdoor Boys?
No. Outdoor Boys.
Outdoor Boys. This guy goes backpacking in like remote Alaska, brings his kids and like camps in like 30 below. It's wild. Huh. Okay. It's absolutely wild.
I was going to go look it up real quick here and maybe give him a follow then.
You should check out Outdoor Boys.
Outdoor Boys.
Outdoor Boys.
With an S or a Z?
I don't remember. Just use the S. It'll come up.
Outdoor Boys.
Outdoor Boys.
Stranded on a 120-year-old off-grid homestead.
Yeah, Outdoor Boys, dude.
Is that really a boy?
No, he's a dude.
That looks like a kid.
That's probably his kid.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. He takes his kids out with him. Yeah, that's him right there.
Almost 8.29 million subscribers.
Yeah, I'm telling you, he's awesome.
And I've never even heard of
him. I was talking to Marty Ferrucci about him. He brought up something. I was like, oh, dude, I've been watching Outdoor Boys. He's like, I love that guy.
No shit.
Yeah, it's awesome. I want to do it real bad, but we don't live anywhere close to Alaska.
Speaking of, Marty just sent me a Snapchat. That's so weird.
Oh, there you go.
The timing of that is so
very weird. Strange.
So anyways, we were kind of sitting here.
Rabbit hole.
Again, yeah, Shed Rally, right? I went out the other day. I brought the e-bike. I finally got it back from Joe. It's been sitting in his garage, not port pod, pod port. and I got it back and I said, you know what? I got to take this thing out.
Yeah.
Like, it was so nice that weekend. We were going somewhere like midday and I was like, I got the morning I'm going to go. So I rode it up the hill and drove all around that field and all down the trails. And it turned into, and this hasn't happened to me in a while, but it turned into like a deer scouting type mission again. Remember when we used to shed hunt
all the time, man?
Just deer scout.
We should still.
Yeah, we should. It like, but like all this new shit started to show up. Like,
yeah.
Oh, look, there's a trail over here, and oh, look, this is becoming a new trail, and that property is adapting and changing every single year.
Oh yeah.
Since they've kind of done some cutting and whatnot, like it's changing so rapidly that like learning these new things are kind of cool. So I marked two places to put trail cameras. That I can't believe I didn't have a trail camera before. There was one spot. Dude, it looked like somebody put in a dirt bike track.
Yeah.
And I'm legitimately looking at like, did somebody really, are people riding dirt bikes back here? And I look and they're just littered in deer tracks.
No kidding.
It's a freaking deer trail. Because it's been wet.
Yeah, oh yeah.
You know, it's been wet. It's been soft. The ground's soft. And the tracks everywhere. So I went through the ridge where I found that match set years back. I didn't find anything there. But that ridge has changed so much. When I found that match set, that was before the cut. That was,
yeah.
Everything is so different. So different. It's pretty open, where before it was a little thicker. And I didn't find anything there. But that's kind of above there is where all that sign was. So I, you know, went through there. And if we could get like, you know, this might sound as like a dig, but it's really not. It's just supposed to be meant as a joke. So I'm going to, you know, preface with that. If we can get other podcasters or YouTube channel people to tell us how to find sheds, that'd be great. Cause I feel like I am the worst shed hunter on the planet.
Oh, I'm terrible at it, dude. Like literally come shed season. If it's even a season,
shed rally season right now.
Yeah.
Something to look forward to.
Dude, most years I put on miles and miles and miles. And I think the one year that our biggest year, I think when I added everything up, we walked like 42 miles or something like that.
Found what? One shed?
Found one shed.
Yeah.
And then during season, I found like three.
Mm-hmm.
Like I find them during hunting season more than I do actually shed hunting. And that's just stumbling upon them.
I've never done that.
I don't know what the problem is.
Yeah. I it's so weird, but I don't know why I've never found them actually hunting. The only time that we've ever found one is when we were tracking my buck a long time ago. Russ found that giant, giant shed. But dude, I don't know. Like I'm taking what everybody says and I'm going to those spots religiously and not finding sheds. Like the only spot I feel like I consistently find sheds is on field edges, like food source field edges, so cut cornfield.
Yeah.
And I'm just walking into them.
Yeah.
And it's like every other year.
I'm not a great shed hunter, man. I know a couple people that are really good. Maybe we should get them on. Are they
really good?
Pick their brain. Oh yeah.
Do they just have really good property?
No, they're just really good at it.
Okay, I believe you.
You remember John from my work?
Yeah.
His brother-in-law, Wade, James Wade.
Yeah.
Amazing at finding sheds.
You know, we have that guy that Adam wanted us to get on, too, that's been just absolutely dominating sheds.
Well, maybe we get somebody on that really
knows
what they're doing, apparently.
Because honestly, it's like...
This is still a learning process for us, too. This is not
it is.
Us knowing everything.
I don't know shit about
finding sheds. I'll listen to somebody. Learn me. Mm-hmm. Learn me up good.
Honestly, I used to listen to all this stuff about shed hunting and where to find them and all that. And then I went out and did that and didn't find them. So it was like I just gave up on learning at that time. I just gave up on...
I haven't gave up on
not it. On learning, but I've given up on acquiring the information through those sources. Mm-hmm. Does that make more sense?
It does.
Like I'm not reaching out to go look for a podcast on shed hunting. Just not going to listen to something like that. But... Maybe I should.
I want to go back for a second because you said that property's constantly changing and you found all these new places to hang cameras and stuff. Mm-hmm. I think that's why it's so important this time of year to actually scout and shed hunt because if it's changing that rapidly, you need to be in there looking for that stuff. And that's something that we used to do religiously. And I'm guilty of it too, man. I haven't done any amount of scouting like I should or like I used to in these last 4 or 5 years just because I've been so limited on time. But before that, I mean, we used to walk every property we could think of.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Post-season scouting tells you so much.
It does, man.
That sign just like, it's a beacon.
Yeah, for sure.
You literally can't miss it. So
yeah, I would agree.
I don't know. The nice part is I think with the two areas that I've identified, and what's funny about that is we used to hunt relatively close to one of the areas, But since they've changed things, you see a shift just slightly, like 50 to 60 yards from where we used to hunt. That's ice cold now and all the signs over here. So it's just like whatever happened when they dropped all the trees, they've changed the pattern of movement on these deer. And it's like we can put a camera here and here. And that basically brings that whole property together where in the past, that whole side, we really only had one camera on this year. And of course, Joe hung it right in front of a vine. I'm not sure why he did that, but you know, the vine just swings all and take whatever. But I've gotten great pictures on that camera. You know, that's a spot where I hunted early season thinking there was going to be acorns over there, and there really was no acorn crop. And I kind of gave up on it. I never went back. It was always a really good rut spot. Like the travel corridor there was fire. And this year, some of the pictures I got, they were there.
They were there.
My tag was filled. The couple, Brucey and Junior, were there.
Yeah.
Religiously. So I'm like, if I had a tag, I felt like I could have been in there and killing those deer. They were in there in daylight.
Something to think about, man. Honestly.
Yeah, but I think those other two areas are going to answer some questions. And if nothing else, maybe even bring attention to a couple bucks or a buck that lives on that side of the property that doesn't really come into the other buck's territories potentially.
Yep.
You know, we'll see. But we kind of got off on shed rally there, and we gotta roll this back, and we gotta kind of thank our beautiful partners.
Yeah, I would totally agree. Talking about Scree Gear,
yes, sir.
What's going on with Scree Gear right now?
Well, there's a lot going on with Scree Gear. I'll let you get into some of the outlet items, but I want to tell you what I was wearing the other day. Beautiful combo. It was like probably 40-ish, 44 in the morning. Warmed up pretty quick that day. I had the 300 merino bottoms on with the Venture Flex pants.
Mm-hmm.
And I had the 300 hoodie on top with just the grid light jacket.
Nice.
It was a great combo. You know, for briars and stuff, honestly, those Venture Flex with the 300 merino do really well. Dude, I was going through some stuff.
Yeah.
Like, they are definitely tougher than the Uintas. They're not quite the hard scrabbles, but with that 300 merino base bomb behind it, I felt like
a little more cushion.
Dude, I did not get torn up. I had no speckles on my legs from going through some stuff, and I went through some stuff.
Nice. Yeah. Nice.
So that's what I was rocking, but they got new stuff all the time. I mean, talk about some of the things you're seeing on the outlet there.
There's all kinds of new stuff on here. Again, the Venture Flex are on here. They're like ridiculously cheap right now.
Mm-hmm.
But they have the Gators on here right now for, you know, $29, basically $30 for the Gators. That's a steal. They got that Bowen Balaclava on there, the Balaclava. Mm.
Balaclava.
Yeah, the 150 for $25, deal. The Gunner vest, their version of the Blazorn vest, which I love, and I know you love it.
Dude, that's my favorite vest of all time.
Dude, that's a great vest for gun hunting, man.
That's an investment well spent if you got to wear orange.
Totally, $41.
There you go.
Yeah. Unreal, man. There's all kinds of good stuff on here.
I see the Nebo rain jacket. What do they have that discounted?
I wore my Nebo rain jacket the other day.
Dude, that's down to under $150.
Yeah.
Dang.
Yeah, I know.
That jacket's freaking awesome, dude. Oh, dude, turkey season's coming up. Like, there's going to be a lot of warmer, rainy days where you're going to want a rain jacket to breathe. And that Nebo breathes like no other jacket. It's quieter and breathes better than any other rain jacket I've ever seen.
I would totally agree. And I have another rain jacket and it's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't breathe at all.
Yep.
It is super duper waterproof, but I sweat.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's one of those things, man.
All right. So who else we got? VIP Archery?
VIP Archery, man. The Gobbler guillotines are $15 right now.
How?
I know.
You know?
175 grain of turkey slaying madness.
Dude, that is just such a badass broadhead for $15. How can you pass that up? Like, if you're turkey hunting and you're going after them with a bow, dude, what are you doing? Like, why are you not using this thing?
Look at that cutting width, 2¾ by 2¾.
I'm not gonna go out and say how do you miss, because
oh, you can.
Let's be honest, I could miss this year if I try it. But honestly, it gives you a lot better odds. Like,
oh yeah,
you catch them with any piece of that broadhead and that blade. One, they are razor sharp.
Yeah.
I mean, they're just as sharp as any of the other broadheads that they sell. And for two, like, they are tough, extremely tough.
I would totally agree. And that Commander looks good, too.
Great broadhead.
Yeah, man.
Got to use them a little bit more this year, and I am starting to slowly make the switch. To be honest with you, I still have the combat veterans, but it's a mix. It's 50-50 in the quiver right now.
There you go, buddy.
Uh-huh.
I'm still rocking those combat vets, but
well, I don't blame you.
They're just so
can't be beaten.
I didn't throw one little piece of information in there, and I think it's very important.
Hmm?
Freddy Krueger blood, guys.
You promised you'd come up with new material.
I know. I just can't. I can't help
myself. Half a year ago.
Yeah. Well, you know me.
I do.
Moving on into the next Back 40 Seed Co.
Yeah, man.
They got all kinds of stuff on here for, you know, your spring planting needs. And I know you've got a couple of these ones, like this little guy right here, that chicory and clover.
I do.
Yep. Oh, my goodness gracious.
Have 2 full acres worth of that chicory clover. Yeah, buddy.
Actually,
I bet you I have more than that. But I picked it up at the Great American Outdoor Show, and we were just talking about it the other day. It's starting to come in a little bit. Our plot has seen some overtaken from some grasses, so we're going to do a couple sprays.
Yep.
But I'll tell you what, if you are listening to this right now, it's Friday. We are having this cold weather coming in on Sunday.
Yep.
That temps are going to fly up by like Tuesday, I think.
Yeah.
Dude, frost seeding.
Get in there.
That is a hell of an opportunity to get some seed on the ground. And when it warms up, just have all that moisture, bring it right down into the ground
for you. I totally agree, man.
It's what I would be doing if I didn't have to spray.
Yeah, man.
But unfortunately, we have to wait because the spray will kill the grass. It won't kill the clover, but we have to wait for the clover to be a little bit more mature so it doesn't get killed.
There you go. I like it.
I'm excited. I love Back 40 Seed, and we do have a discount code with them as well. We haven't mentioned any of our discount codes.
No, we haven't. Distraction 10 for Back 40 Seed.
Yep.
And if you're interested in getting something from Scree Gear, WDP20 for 20% off your first purchase.
Beautiful. I think it's going to work with any purchase, guys. I'm just going to say that out loud. Okay?
Yeah.
But you didn't hear it from us. As long as you're not buying from the outlet.
Wink, wink.
Yeah, wink.
But that's it for taking care of business, guys. Something else I wanted to hop into real quick.
Yeah, we have one more, though. A&F custom calls, bro.
Oh, my goodness. We are talking about turkey hunting. Sorry, Kyle.
Yeah, no, you're good. I just had a conversation with Kyle the other day. I text him, said, hey, buddy, it's that time of year. What's going on? Like, what's new? What's going on with A&F? And he called me. He's like, I just figured it'd be easier if I call you. So right now, guys, Kyle's in a sling.
He's got a busted wing.
He's got a bad shoulder he finally took care of. I will put money on it. This is a baseball injury from back in the day. This is how I know Kyle. I played college ball with him. I'm pretty sure he went in and got some stuff fixed in the off season, but he's going to be out for at least another probably 4 to 5 weeks, but he has back stock ready to go. So it's going quick. If you need something and your season starts earlier than ours does, or you're going on a trip out of state early, get a hold of him now, get what he has, and then he'll be taking orders and making new calls in no time. But just want to put that disclaimer out there. He mentioned he has new merch that he's dropping. So he's got some new merch on the website, anfcustomcalls.com. Go check that out. And he is also dropping the new way he makes a call. He has a new red latex that he's going to start using that makes a different kind of sound. So
the red ghost.
Yeah.
Look at that bad boy.
That is sweet.
Ooh, that is sweet.
That red latex, he's saying it's the same cut, but that red latex, for whatever reason, just making a different kind of noise that he really, really likes. So you're talking full custom. He has another cut coming out as well that he hasn't posted on yet, but it'll be out soon.
It will be out soon. I mean, if you guys are on the fence about it, go in and check out like the Hunter series, the variety pack.
Yep.
All kinds of good stuff on there. Go check those out.
Heck yeah. And if you just send him the code WDP, he'll take care of you.
Yeah. Or just tell him that we sent you. That's fun too.
That works too.
Yeah. Yeah. That's A&F. That's all the partners, guys.
Yep. All right.
That's all that fun stuff.
Whatever you were getting into then.
I was going to go into the spring giveaway.
Oh, okay. Good transition.
I think that's a good little thing. And it happens to be a turkey product, turkey products too. So,
well, it's spring. We figured, we kind of talked about this a while back and we missed our fall giveaway. So we apologize for that. Just never got it put together. We were hunting. I'm sorry.
it happens.
We'll make up for it. I promise.
Come on, man.
I know, Joe. I know, man. My bad. Okay. But since we're speaking of partners, this is all related. We got some great stuff for
our
giveaway. First thing we have is a pair of those Venture Flex pants by Scree.
Scree Gear.
Those pants are by far my favorite of all time. So we're going to be giving one of those away. We're going to be giving away a custom-made pot call that was donated by our good friend and Mr. Walter Lee.
Yes.
From SoCo, the Southern Collective. Go check those guys out. Those guys are absolutely awesome. Patreon hunt in about a week. I'm so jealous. Their Florida turkey hunt's coming up. But anyways, I'm going to miss it this year.
Yeah. Sorry, buddy.
One silent tear hits the ground. So he's going to donate a pot call, which is freaking so cool of him. And the last item is a three-pack of the A&F.
A&F custom calls, man. Sweet. We'll probably do that variety pack. I would think that Hunter Series variety pack.
That's the one you like. I mean, it just makes sense to me. Why not?
Absolutely.
We're selling to hunters.
That's it, guys. And what we'll probably end up doing is you have to go and follow us, follow Screw Gear, follow A&F.
That's pretty much it.
That's pretty much it.
We might do like tag a buddy for an extra entry kind of thing.
We could do something like that, yeah. But that's going to be really simple, and we'll probably have a pretty good turnout. So get on in there. Good chance of winning some stuff.
Yep, we will draw the winner on the March 29th episode.
Yeah.
So you get 3 weeks.
To get this done.
Get that entered. I'll be on Austin's ass to get some kind of...
Post-made. Yeah, I got you.
Thank you. Sorry.
I'll make something. I'll make it tonight.
I'm doing charades over here like this, the rectangle with the pictures and... Make us some kind of good, cool art there, would you?
Yeah, I got you, buddy.
I appreciate it.
I got you.
That way we can get that posted up, and then that post we'll use for the draw of the giveaway. And remember, guys, if you are a Patreon member, you do get a multiplication to win these prizes as well.
That's right.
So each Patreon member and each tier has a set amount of extra entries in each giveaway that we do.
That's right.
So if you're interested in joining our Patreon, go check out any of our Linktree. You can go on to Patreon and search for the Whitetail Distraction Podcast. But any of our links that you click through from our social media, you can find our Patreon.
That is correct.
We have a $3 a month tier.
Yeah, we have
a
pile of guys in our Marco Polo group, yeah, which is absolutely awesome. I love those guys.
Come on, man.
Oh, my bad.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
$3.
$3. Oh, my God.
Candy bars.
One that is less than a candy bar these
that
days.
That is less than a candy bar.
One candy bar a month is what it's going to cost you to be friends with us. We're the best friends money can buy.
And eventually, if you win any of these prizes, you can go out and you can hunt some turkeys.
Oh, all right. You're having too much fun over
there. I am. I'm not going to touch those for a while.
Pull you back.
Yeah.
But, you know, the fun part is, yeah, the Patreon. We're going to have the Patreon hunt coming up here in April.
West Virginia.
That's going to be an absolute blast. Already the camp is going to be insane.
Yeah.
We have a cabin reserved for the guys. It's going to be everybody under one roof. It's going to be so much fun. Probably going to pair into twos. And it's not like we're just going to ship them out there. You know, Mikey was a little concerned the other day, I think. He's like, well, what are you guys doing? You know, are you going to just like ship us out?
And we're not going to put you out there.
I'm like, dude, we've been hunting here for a while.
Yeah, we're going to do a pile scouting and we're going to take you guys out and do it.
I can put you in the right direction. From there, you got to do what you got to do, but I can put you in the right direction. So,
man, Chuck will call.
Yeah, well, absolutely.
A damn Ray Har will probably do some calling.
Yep, he's fired up about it too. So,
my man, love
it. It should be a good time.
Yeah, so that's pretty much business.
That is the business. So, speaking of turkeys, you got any real plans for turkey season this year?
Not even a little bit yet.
Not at all.
I pulled out a bunch of my stuff. That's about it.
Okay.
But I haven't been driving around looking for birds. I haven't really seen any birds. Mm-hmm. So I haven't got really fired up yet. As soon as I see one, I'll be like, oh. And it'll get me out and I'll throw the girls in the car and I'll go out driving
there you go.
For birds.
It's tough, man. I don't know. Our direct area has just not been the greatest.
Taking a hit, man. My old freaking faithful has been absolutely awful about the last 4 years.
Yeah. It's been weird. I don't like it at all. I don't know, you know, whatever's going on with that, but... You just got to find the pockets now. In our area, you just got to find the pockets. But we need to do like a camp trip this year. I think that'd be a lot of fun.
That would be fun.
We have the West Virginia thing going on, so there's that. And then we'll figure it out. I'm not worried about it.
What about you? Got any plans?
I do. I have a Virginia trip first and foremost. Yep. That's going to be the first trip with Joe Marcello. I think I mentioned that on here, but we're going to get
I think
down.
Joe might have called in, actually.
Did he?
I got him on the line right here.
Joe, is that you?
Hey, you're talking to my guy all wrong. It's wrong tone. Do it again. I'll stab you in the face with a soldering iron.
Sorry, Joe. I didn't mean to offend you, man.
Yeah.
apologize.
Yeah, I don't know.
Jeez, that's brutal, man. Hopefully, you know, he doesn't take that violence to turkey camp.
I'm not touching this thing anymore. Oh, my gosh.
So, Virginia's first. That next weekend will be West Virginia with all you guys. And then we have J-Bo coming into town. He's going to be spending like a whole freaking week in town.
Nice.
We're going to hit PA. We're going to try to hit West Virginia. And if we're lucky enough, we may hit New York.
Nice.
I was talking to somebody the other day, too, that they were talking about. Oh, it was Kyle. He was talking about making a trip to New York around that same time frame. So if all else fails, maybe I can meet up with him or something and get a hunting in with him.
That'd be cool.
I think he said he's taking that second week of May off, which would be about the same time frame I'll be up there.
Very cool.
So that'd be really, if I could get J-Bo with Kyle.
Oh my good googly moogly.
He would be in love.
Oh yeah.
My God. Like that dude can call.
You're not kidding.
He can hunt some turkeys too. Like I talked to him. Kyle will be on for an episode this spring for sure. We gotta start getting some turkey content. I was actually surprised. Some of the guys were talking about it in our Marco Polo group the other day. Like I was waiting. I'm you know, we're trying to set up some good deer content still because we have some good stories we need to cover. But they were like, dude, I'm ready for turkey. But it makes sense because their turkey season's coming in like 10
days. It does make sense. Well, maybe we'll do some reaching out this week. Maybe we'll have our first episode for turkey.
Ooh, don't get me excited. I'll start shot gobbling. Go ahead. I saw you almost reach.
I almost did. I had to hold my hand down. Yeah. Yeah, it was like, it's like hurting. I'm going to turn it off. Look at that. No, I can't do it.
You're not that.
Yeah, I can't help myself because I'm going to accidentally reach. No, it's going to be exciting though.
Yeah. I am really looking forward to this year. I think from what I was listening to, I've been listening to a lot of turkey podcasts, watching a lot of turkey stuff right now. The numbers across the board are looking really good this year. Pennsylvania's looking very stable. So,
well, that's better than decline.
Yes. Numbers are good in areas and stable in others. The problem is all the areas that are good aren't where we live. So we're like in the shittiest part of the state for turkey hunting.
That makes sense.
But the flip side of that is we're in one of the better spots.
We're in a pretty good deer hunting spot.
So yeah. It's like, yeah. You know.
Hard to complain.
I'll travel for turkey.
This is a deer hunting podcast, Chuck.
Is it though? I don't know.
This isn't the turkey distraction.
It can be.
It could be.
It might be soon. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, we'll think about it.
I am. That is such a great segue because you don't even know about this. I am having our good buddy, Mr. Sibeli, make us a turkey t-shirt as we speak.
Really?
Yeah, he's working up a turkey design for us. We're going to drop some turkey t-shirts. So
Do you have proof or anything?
Not even a thing yet. This is like infancy, brand new.
Okay.
I also brought a few items to a local shop recently to get our logo on. So those long sleeve fishing shirts.
Oh yeah.
We're going to have those soon.
Ooh.
So dude, I'm making a move on some merch. I want to get some, you know, variety for people.
I'll get you up and rolling online.
Yeah.
On the interwebs.
We'll have to get some interwebs going so people can go on and make orders. But a buddy of ours saw that. We haven't really announced this, but the onesie that you made me.
Yeah, dude.
With the whitetail distraction on it. Which I haven't announced on here yet, that I am having a kid come July. So that's very exciting. But a guy saw it at that show and loved it so much, he wanted one. So I had to go buy a 4-pack of onesies. So I gave him 2 to put the logo on.
That's awesome.
I might give 1 to Joe for his daughter,
Savannah. There you go.
My niece. So
I'll have to ask Brooke. I don't know if we gave him one or not.
Oh, really?
We might have.
But it would have been a little one, right?
Yeah, it would have been little.
Yeah, see, yeah. I bought these. He wanted one bigger size because the kid that he was thinking of time frame-wise would be like between that 9 and 12 months. So I bought the 12-month.
There you go. There you go.
So I think that would probably fit his daughter at this point. I don't know. She's getting big, man.
Yeah.
Real big.
I know.
So hopefully, we were just talking about it. Hopefully, Joe can join us for either the Patreon turkey hunt or at least some kind of turkey hunt this year. I know last year I brought him out turkey hunting first morning, put a bird in his lap, and his gun didn't go off again.
For like the 9th time.
Yeah, it's getting a little old.
Click.
And I'm like, Joe, why don't you go back to your shotgun that you've killed a bunch of shit with in the past? Well, it's got issues, putting the second round in. I'm like, Joe, you don't need a second round. You're turkey hunting. You just need the first one to go off for once. Like all your other guns, they don't go off.
I don't know. That's a new gun. He needs to take that thing to a gunsmith.
It was a totally different gun.
Oh.
This is two guns in a row now.
Oh, my goodness.
I don't know. Maybe it doesn't like the shells that we're putting into it.
What's he putting into it?
Those double axes that I use.
Feed it something tasty.
I like it.
Yeah, I know you do.
I ain't buying him anything. He can go buy his own.
Well, tell him to go buy some turkey legs.
Yeah, seriously. Go buy some Longbeard XRs or something. I don't know.
I probably have some turkey legs you can have.
It's really just a big brother to double X anyway. Double X is just a different wad than the Longbeard XR. That's the only difference. Done my research. Don't look at me like that.
I think you're wrong.
I'm not wrong.
You're also shooting 3-inch too, aren't you?
I am.
Yeah.
I can't shoot more than 3-inch out of my gun.
Got to shoot the shoulder wreckers, bro.
There's no reason to go to a 3-inch. I have this argument with Booer every year.
Like, I want to be able to shoot down a 15-inch oak tree with a turkey behind it.
And that's really the only purpose that a 3.5-inch shell would have. Like,
listen, they're asinine.
I really want to make the move to TSS, but I have like 3 boxes left of this double X that shoot great out of my gun. Like, I've missed once ever, and I know what I did. I just shot right over the turkey, but I don't want to miss again, ever again. But I will say, like, those shells have done me really good out of that gun.
Yeah.
So I'm fortunate in that sense. A lot of other people, they don't work that well for, but, you know, the Longbeard XR is definitely a better shell. Don't get me wrong. But for me, it's cheap, and I bought them all years ago when they were $7 a box. Now they're like 24.
Yeah, a lot of those prices and stuff are coming down, though, on shotgun shells and whatnot.
It's still crazy.
Yeah. I mean, you're buying specialty loads.
Yeah. I don't know. $50, $60 for 6 shells of TSS just does not interest me.
Yeah.
Yet. But I'll tell you what.
I think if you shot one and you saw the pattern, you'd be like, good gravy.
You can't.
It's unbelievable.
You can't excuse the pattern. Like, I can't say that, there's no. There is a freaking difference, dude. Holy shit. What TSS does is insane.
Dude, honestly, my Benelli with that Indian Creek choke in it loves his Longbeard XRs. His 3.5s.
Yeah.
Number 5 shot.
That's what I use. Number 5.
2 ounce load. It's just unbelievable pattern.
I'm running the Indian Creek as well out of my gun, but I mean, it's just a basic Remington 870. You know, the thing I like with my gun is it's that long ass barrel on it.
Yeah.
I've been looking into some other guns, 20 gauge, 28 gauges. I don't know. I'm going to make the move eventually. As soon as I can justify to my wife that I'm buying it for my new baby, I'll be good to go.
There you go.
I'm like, is it too early to put one of these on the registry?
You just gotta.
I know. I just have to. You're right.
Don't. Just wait. Nah,
come with me. I don't know what I want to go with, though. I'm intrigued with the 28 gauge.
Get a 20, really, dude. Get a 20.
They're so cool. I want a 20.
You're going to have it. There's a lot more variation in loads and everything you can do with a 20 over 28.
For sure. Yeah, for sure.
I got a buddy with a 28. He's got a side-by-side 28. And he murders the hell out of rabbits.
Yeah.
I mean, and that dude's a turkey hunting fool. I've never seen him take it out.
Yeah. I mean, it's like a cross between a 20 and a 410, right?
It's in between.
Yeah.
It's a tweener.
It's a tweener. So you do got to beef it up with a really good choke, and you got to use really good shells. Where I feel like a 20 gauge, I'm still going to put a decent choke on it, like probably Carlson's. And for me, I'll probably put something nicer on.
Yeah, I'd put something real nice on. I get a Jebs or an Indian Creek or, you know, Pattern Master, any of those.
So 20 gauges are pretty commonly available as well.
Absolutely.
Which is nice.
Dude, Adam Rahar was smashing birds last year with 20 gauge.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. He said he won't go back.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll have one for the Patreon hunt. I don't know.
Listen, I got a sweet 20 gauge I'll show you after this. Remind me, it's a turkey gun too. Sweet. You won't believe the price.
Dang. $399?
Not quite that cheap. Oh, okay. But,
and I thought maybe someone gave it to you.
It's more like $350. I don't have it. I'm eyeballing it.
Oh.
I'm eyeballing it.
Yeah. You'll have to show me then. Yeah, for sure. I'm going to write it down actually. There you go. Which reminds me of something else that I've written down that's not turkey related that I need to get to. Because we were talking about Joe Marcello, but really the real hero of Pennsylvania right now is Brandon Marcello. That dude.
Awesome podcast, too, by the way.
Yeah. Great podcast. If you guys missed the Marcello Brothers podcast, whatever number that is, I have it written down here. Actually, I might. Let me look. Nope, I don't. Damn it. Well, we'll just say it's
prior, a few ago.
It's prior to 162. That's the last one I remember writing down. But anyways, there it is, 161.
There you go. Perfect.
It was the one right before it. Episode 161 with those two is freaking unreal.
Hilarious.
But Brandon, I just saw a post recently from the bow hunting lift. He won the biggest buck out of Pennsylvania. So he won a brand new lift.
Dude, that's awesome.
Route 66 Sporting Goods.
That's so cool, man.
Isn't that crazy?
That is awesome.
Good for him, man. Really Congratulations,
good.
Sir.
Really good. That's awesome.
That was a great buck, too. Unbelievable.
Thing was a beast, man.
May have been spoken about a little bit on episode 161 if you guys want to back there and, you know. Listen to that after
Listen
this one.
To her. The Christmas tree ornament.
If you're yeah, oh my God, dude, so had funny. Me in tears.
Oh,
if you're still in deer mode, that's a good episode for you.
I would agree.
I'm not 100% out of deer mode, but dude, I've been in turkey mode for a while.
I'm not in turkey mode yet, man. I'm still thinking about whitetails.
I got like 4 channels on YouTube right now that are posting pretty much daily content.
Dang.
Yeah. So, like, I have every night I get through at least 2 to 3 videos, and it's like I can't get enough.
Yeah.
I'm finding new. Man, I am finding out that I really don't have patience for people that have YouTube channels and just don't know how to run a turkey call. I'm sorry. It's tough.
Are you trying to get us hated on? Are we going to get canceled by turkey hunters right now?
No, I'm not going to say who it was. Just saying, like, so since I've been watching.
Are they killing birds?
Yeah.
Then it doesn't matter.
I know. That's why I hate it.
Don't be hating.
It's not that I'm hating. It's just that I'm noticing it more now. Like, yeah. You can tell that they're not using an A&F custom calls when I'm getting at.
Oh, there you go. Nice play. Oh, I didn't even notice you were wearing that hat, guy.
Oh, yeah.
I should have talked about that when we were doing our partners. VIP right. Archery hat. That's pretty sweet.
Not a bad hat.
Look at that.
It's got the American flag on the back, too.
Oh, good.
Somewhere right there.
Yeah, right there.
Mesh. Nice. But I will say, you know, those videos, again, they're great content. Some of these kids, it's just like, you can tell they're young kids too. So I'm actually not hating. I really am not hating. It's just, you can tell that they're influenced by guys like the Dave Owens and the Hunting Public. And they're doing a lot of similar things where I would like to see them do more of their own thing. You know what I mean?
I know
like,
what you're saying.
Be your own self, be authentic. Don't feel like you have to make this big production video or talk to the camera or, you know, do little bits and pieces. I don't know. I don't know what I'm saying. I just feel like if they went more to that vlog style, like what the guys that I'm watching now are, I would be a little bit more into it.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like I could fast forward through 20 minutes of a lot of these videos and not miss a thing.
I could agree.
So if you're out there and you're going to start a YouTube channel, let us know.
Speaking of which, I have a buddy who's starting a YouTube channel.
Do you?
Yeah, very soon here. Been talking him through a lot of stuff with it.
Whitetail Distraction?
No. No. That would be sweet, though. We should. Actually, well, you know what? We do have a YouTube channel.
We do have a YouTube channel. Austin, we're going to put some, I hope to put some content on it this year.
Go watch my hilarious West Virginia turkey hunt.
Yeah. Chaos.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
That was cool.
That was really
cool. But who is it? What's the YouTube channel?
It's not up yet. Okay, it's coming up soon. We'll have him on when he gets it up.
Okay.
It'll be good.
Another thing I just saw that's related to turkeys. Did you see that Creekside partnered with Cluck?
No, I didn't.
So all of Creekside Wildlife, Mike Miller.
Yeah.
Our good boy dude. Mikey. All of their content is no longer going to be on their YouTube channel. It's all going to be on Cluck. So now I have to go subscribe to Cluck because they were one of the ones in my rotation that I've been watching.
Very cool.
So,
well, that's awesome. Good for him, man.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Good for them. That's pretty much all I have for turkey stuff. I hope to hear from some of the guys out there that have trips planned, or if you guys are laying birds down. I know that a couple states are open right now. Southern Florida, Southern Texas are two of the ones I know for sure that are open right now. If anyone's dropping down some birds, man, let me know. Let us know.
I have a bird hunt plan.
Do you?
I do.
What is it?
It's not in the spring. And it's not turkey.
Is it pheasant?
Yeah.
Did you actually plan one?
Yeah, it's all planned. Deposits are sent in, everything.
No. This one you told me about?
I'm going to South Dakota
this year. South Dakota for pheasants.
I used to go to North Dakota all the time, but I'm going out there with my dad, my uncle.
Yeah, it's freaking awesome.
It's going to be great this fall, yeah. In October.
Well,
going to South Dakota.
Are you
going to
hunt muleys too?
No, that would be sweet, though.
I thought you were.
No, just bird hunting.
Just bird.
Bird okay. And booze.
I'm jealous.
It's going to be fun.
Do I have to send you with a bottle? Like, pick you out a handcrafted bottle that would go with pheasant?
I don't know.
I think I do.
I'll have to talk to the boys. I'll talk to the Whiskey and Whitetail boys. What goes good with pheasants?
Well, you know what they'll give you. an answer that's like you have to come up with on your own.
I know. I know.
That's what they're good
I
know. At.
I miss those guys. We got to get them back on too. They're such good dudes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was good. Good time spending some time with those boys.
Yeah, yeah.
Last month. But I mean, we're still hot in the shed hunting, man. I know we're jumping around a little bit here. I don't want to pass it up like we're not going to get out anymore because I plan on getting out a couple more times. We got to hit that property where you found the one that year in town here.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, we haven't been in there in a couple years.
It's been a while.
It's gotten thick.
I'm sure it's thicker than heck in there.
A couple good beds were. We got to hit that spot up for sure.
Yeah. There's a few spots that I haven't hit in a few years.
I don't know if you know, but there's a lot changing back there, too. They're clearing out a lot of that land for housing.
Are they really?
Mm-hmm. On the other side of, way in the back where they... So last time we turkey hunted, we rabbit hunted back there. And the last time we went down there, that whole other side was a clear cut.
Really?
And I feel like that drew all the rabbits over there because it was a mess. I mean, there was just talking.
Yeah, there was stuff everywhere.
Now they're clearing it out, and they're going to put housing back there.
Wild.
Which I feel like is going to be, I'm trying not to give this all away, so I feel like it's going to be something similar in that area where they have like a bunch of nice condos and stuff.
Interesting.
It would be nice if they did that. It was a perfect spot for it, really. But what I think that's going to do is push all the wildlife back to our side where it's to hunt rabbits. Dude, there was turkeys back there. There's a ton of deer back there. Tough spot to hunt.
Yeah, very tough.
It's very thick and small, and some people were in there.
Yeah, you gotta be careful.
Yeah, it probably can't be hunted. Rabbits, maybe.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you, that area for shed hunting,
yeah,
perfect.
I have another spot I want to go shed hunting. I found it kind of looking on Onyx the other night.
Yeah.
A property that we talked about a really long time ago that has come to fruition and looks kind of interesting on the map. I'll show it to you.
Okay.
This is very cryptic. I'm sorry, guys.
I know.
It's like awesome to listen to this.
Yeah.
Go back and forth.
You know.
Yeah.
On the panhandle.
Right, dude. Smack dab on the end of the panhandle.
Ooh.
You know where the little hole is where you can hang it up? Yeah.
Yeah. I do know about that.
Yeah.
I will say, what about any of your like public land spots? Some of the spots you hunted this year that were way back in and where you shot that doe this year. Is anything like that you thinking about for sheds?
I mean, I need to go back in there anyway. I've had a pile of deer on camera back in that spot, in particular,
mm-hmm.
which has been wild because I have two cameras covering that area. One's in one spot where I had the most activity, and then the other one just kind of like a general...
access spot? Or
It's how I have to access it,
yeah.
And I was kind of using that, so I wasn't bumping deer. But I've had a pile of deer on that camera recently, too. So they've been back in there, and there's a huge, humongous, it's super thick... portion of that I haven't been in at all. So, there could be...
It's the perfect time. One, again, we're going to be shed hunting, in air quotes, because...
There's a lot of turkey back there, too, by the way.
Ooh, we're going to be scouting.
Yeah, we can do a little scouting.
That's a perfect place to do that.
It's a perfect place.
Late season scout, because you've been in there a few times.
Yeah. I haven't been in there a lot.
Yeah, you're not super familiar with that area. Mm-hmm. Like you're saying, you haven't touched that whole thick spot. You get in there now, you might find three or four more spots that you really, really like.
Yeah, you never know.
And if we find a shed, it's a bonus, but...
It's awesome.
I'm not holding my breath.
I wouldn't either.
World's worst shed hunter. Or is it just because we live in Pennsylvania?
That's also a possibility, but like I know... Like, it's funny. I went rabbit hunting with my buddies. It was when you were in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
I went rabbit hunting with my buddies, and we were walking out, and there was a shed on the ground. Dude picked it up right there.
Crazy.
It's just...
Just stumbling them.
Never when I'm shed hunting or anything like that.
I mean, that one year, probably my best shed year ever. I think I found like three. And that year, it was like, I remember just because the girls dropped us off and left. And when they came back to pick us up, they moved the car. And just from them moving the car back and 50 feet when I was walking to the car, I found one laying right there.
Isn't that crazy?
That we drove right past on the way in. It was just buried in the grass.
I think my best year was three, too.
Yeah.
And I wasn't shed hunting to find any of them. I just stumbled on them when I was hunting.
I think Adam's already got more than that this year. His dog's been finding sheds.
He has, yeah.
Which is freaking awesome.
So cool, man.
Dude, shed dog. I wanted to do that with my dog, and now he's blind.
Well.
So I don't think he's going to be finding any sheds anytime soon. Poor Hank, yeah.
Poor Hank.
Ah, man. He's like a pinball machine in the house. Boom, 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 boom. Off everything. Poor dog.
Oh, buddy. Yeah, that happens, I guess.
If you
he's getting older, though, too.
Yeah, if you have a blind dog at home, I feel your pain.
It's like a pinball machine.
It is.
Oh,
or
buddy.
Plinko.
Yeah, yeah. Plinko.
Poor thing.
That's funny.
What else you want to talk about, man? I mean, there's, you know, I don't want this to just be another boring episode. We're kind of covering a lot, but like, dude, it's a tough time. Like I said at the beginning, it's like March, and that's it. It's just March.
It's realistically shed season. Like if we had been out doing a lot of shed hunting and stuff like that, or scouting or anything, we could have that to talk about. But I haven't really got started yet, and I need to.
Yeah.
All I can say is I'm really excited for the Patreon hunt that's coming up, and
super fired up.
I'm excited to get out and walk in the woods a little bit too.
I did get a call today too. I talked to Sam a little bit about that property that we manage at his parents. We're going to do some more hinge cutting out there.
Sweet.
He said that the old hinge cut that we did looks really good.
Beautiful.
He just thinks there's probably another half a dozen trees or better that we can put down to help thicken it up a little bit more. But we've created a really nice safe space for some deer. We've added a ton of ground cover and foliage for the deer.
Very cool.
You know, stem counts up. Everything looks really good. He didn't find any sheds in there. That's one spot I really wanted for shed hunting. But the thing is, like, those bucks, not a lot of them are there this time of year. Like, they're there because he's got all the does there.
Yeah, that's right.
So they come in and then they leave. So it's kind of a tough place for sheds.
Yeah.
But we have that thicket that we've created with the hinge cutting. I told you we're doing a little bit with the food plot stuff. We may go in and kind of select cut. After, I'm going to have a talk to him about the oak tree talk. I think we need to do a couple tests out there with some oak tree. I don't know if I mentioned on here on the podcast, I think it might have been Marco Polo I mentioned, that I recently listened to one of the Wild Turkey Science podcast episodes in the off season where they were talking about oaks and oak producers and non-producers. And basically what they were saying is, you know, how everybody's like, don't cut your oaks. They, you know, they produce acorns, yada, yada. When they've done these studies over years that show like there's a lot of oak trees out there that just don't produce.
I think I heard something very similar to this. And I think they say like 30% or something like that are actually produced, or it's 30% of the trees produce
like
70% of the acorns,
yeah,
or something like
75% of the acorns.
Yeah, yeah.
And like 10% of the trees are like your every year heavy
crop
producers. But they were saying if you can test and find which trees are just not heavy producers, if you get rid of them, you can up your production by like 65%.
Well, yeah, because that whole tree is not pulling all the nutrients out of it. Because it's sort of similar to like deer and stuff, too.
Right. You're opening up the canopy, so you're getting some more, you know, light to the ground, which will...
More browse
for the
natives.
Deer. And you're also helping your other producing acorn crop out of your producing oak trees.
That's true.
You're helping them out produce better. So, because he's got that whole part of his property. I don't know. You've never been there.
But I've seen it on a map and stuff.
Yeah. When you come in and you go, it's basically his parents' yard. And then you go into the food plot. And then you have that big hinge cut area. And then you go down over the hill. And it's like just wide open oak bed.
Yeah.
But there's, you know, he's planted a ton of oaks in there in the past. He's got a bunch of different trees in there. So, I feel like if I have that talk with him, maybe we can go in and get rid of some of these big ancient oak trees that he has that, you know, he's got some nice ones. But if they're not producing, see you bye. Get rid of them.
Well, you know, that's something you guys got to talk about. That's got to, I don't know.
I'm not
a forester, so I can't tell you to be.
Neither am I.
To be honest.
I'm literally just listening to biologists and what they've talked about with studies that have been done to prove, you know, what they're talking
about. It makes
about.
Sense.
Yeah.
Makes
and this sense. Isn't just one study. Like these are multiple studies showing the same results.
Yeah.
And especially they were more driven towards white oak than red oak. But, you know, those two kind of go hand in hand,
I guess. That's true.
But I mean, that is such an interesting topic because when you're talking about like your own land and how you're going to set things up, you know, and everything about it, it just blows my mind how in depth you can get and down to the like minute detail.
Yeah, totally.
It's fun. It is fun. Like I'm gonna have some fun with it. I wish it was my property, but it's not. So I can't have that much fun. But
I know what you're saying.
I mean, think about it. It's kind of like, you know, the property you used to hunt that you have access to, ton of wide open.
Oh yeah,
ton of huge trees. A few have fallen down.
It's gotten worse.
Yeah,
a lot more have fallen down. I actually talked to him a couple of times about bringing in a forester.
Mm-hmm. Select cut.
Select cut. get some of that opened up, take down some of the street, because there's a lot of timber value there.
Yeah.
And
dude, those are
just falling down on the ground. Let's get you a little bit of money. Yeah. Let's improve the habitat, because it hasn't been great the past few years.
Mm-hmm.
He seemed a little bit receptive to it.
Yeah.
So we'll see. I got to talk to him again and really just, I think what I need to do is get him in touch with the forest. I don't think he's going to do it on his own.
Yeah.
Get him in touch with the forester. Have them come and, you know, come and take a look at it and tell him what, like, a good plan of action would be. And I think he would be on board with it.
Yeah. If you can get him a good, reliable source to go in and take a look and mark, you know, a lot of people think with cutting is they have to come in and just cut everything.
You don't have to clear cut.
No.
A select cut would do that place, like.
It would do it some freaking really good.
It'd be a dandy after that.
Dude, some real good.
Yeah.
Because it is. It's wide open. It's the old tennis ball in the woods test,
honestly,
right?
Honestly.
You could throw a tennis ball in there as far as you want. You're still going
to
see it.
It used to be thick in there, man. There was all kind of ground forage and everything. I mean, there was everything in there. There was greenbrier. There was, and now it's just like small stuff. It's all drowned out by all those big oaks.
Dude.
It's a lot of white oaks. And they're really good acorn producers, but guess what? When they're all acorn producers, you can't hunt one tree.
Right, right.
They just kind of move through the whole property, and it's just, it's insane.
Yeah. Especially in white oak right now, and the value in white oak with, you know, people needing white oaks for bourbon barrels. Like that's,
all kinds of stuff, yeah.
If you can find a bourbon barrel white oak tree where people are going to cut them for that, dude, you're going to increase your value tenfold as opposed to just a regular oak tree or another, even a white oak that they're not going to use for barrels.
You never know.
So. That's another thing to think about.
Something to think about
when you're looking at it, because I know that'll get you higher value as well.
Yeah.
So I don't know. We've been kind of rambling on and on, but it's good stuff, man. It's actually a fun time of year. We're getting good weather. It feels like spring. That stupid groundhog said we would have an early spring. Some days it doesn't feel
that way. Kind of feels like it. Kind of doesn't. I mean, I know I was wearing a coat to work, and now I'm not. So that's getting better.
I would say tomorrow, next day, and it might be a little cold, but next week looks promising.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited about it. Another thing that I need to do, I talked about wanting to do it this year, and I need to go out and do some measurements and really figure out some stuff and actually buy a soil test kit.
Oh, yeah.
And get it sent in. I want to do a food plot this year on that property I have access to and figure out what I need to get, how much I need to get of everything, and start planning that out a little bit, how I want to lay it out and everything, too. I have, like, an idea in my head, but if I went out there and really put it together, I think get the ball rolling for me.
I did a soil test. It was easy.
Oh yeah, I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna pull easy. However many plugs and put them in, mix them up.
Yeah,
I have a feeling like that place is gonna need some stuff.
Probably.
We'll see though.
And that's the thing. It's long term, right?
Yeah.
You gotta add lime. You gotta do this. You gotta do that. That doesn't take effect till the next year. You know, best thing case scenario is throw some freaking clover on the ground and see what happens.
Totally.
Just to start, you know, and if some of it takes, some of it takes, and then you can just start to build off of that and build your lime and build your numbers and everything else. But in my opinion, I've always said clover is king.
Yeah. I'm going to do something. I'd like to have something for late season in there too eventually.
Yeah.
But for now, I think I'll just keep it pretty simple and put up some like serious cover.
Mm-hmm.
And
you
just block it because there's a road there.
Dude, that jungle blend that they have.
That's what I was looking at. They have all kinds of blends on there for.
Dude, that shit's nutty. It's got sunflower in it, everything.
Gnarly, dude.
Like giant sunflower in it, I think. Those things are
freaking. I'd like to make like a big L wall and just block the whole thing out so they can just come in and feel protected.
Mm-hmm. That'd be freaking neat.
Access from the river.
There you go.
There's a good tree there, but there's also a good spot for a ground blind. I'd be able to literally just crawl. I don't know. We'll see. I
love that shit. One more topic before I let you go. We're getting in there about an hour. When are you gonna start listening for birds? When is too early? When is the right time? Like up here is a lot different than anywhere else, but what do you think? Personal opinion, when are you gonna do it? And then when should other people do it? If that's different.
That's an interesting thing. I know a lot of people do it a lot earlier than I would personally. It's really going to depend on when I'm seeing birds. Because if I'm not seeing birds in that early morning in those spots, I'm probably not going to go and be doing some listening there.
Right.
Because I don't feel like they're roosting there. I feel like they're making their way there in the afternoons and stuff. So that's going to depend on some of my scouting and where I'm seeing birds. But at the same time, like I always say, I'm going to do it earlier, but I usually end up only doing like the last 2 weeks before season or even the last week before season.
Yeah.
Like really going out and listening. But That's one of those things, man. It's kind of subjective if I found birds or not.
You don't want to just get out there and listen to some gobbles.
I love listening to the woods wake up.
Yeah, there's nothing better.
But I try, being as limited as I am, I try and be as efficient as I can with it, too.
That's a good point. When should other people start doing, like, when are these birds, in your opinion, like, starting to get into their spring pattern? Like, are they still in the winter pattern right now, you think? Like, we're in March.
They're flocked up still big time.
Yeah.
They're not breaking up.
They haven't broken up into their spring spots just yet.
I've seen a few people talking about birds and just been piles and piles of birds together. So I'm not super worried yet or anything.
Yeah. I would say, in my opinion, come like...
Good question, though.
Yeah, I figured why not, since we were on the topic of turkey. I don't know. Our season starts May 4th. Our
May the 4th be with the birds?
Yeah, it's May the 4th be with you and the birds. And our junior season is like the 7th.
Boy, that sounds late.
It is late this year. Super late. We have less turkey hunting days this year than probably ever, and it's really obnoxious.
That is.
Yeah. They didn't extend it out past the end of May, I don't think, either. So, like, the season.
Of course they did.
Yeah. So, we talked about this last year with some of the guys in the group, and it's like, we lost like 3 or 4 days of turkey. It's so annoying.
Wow, it would be May 4th, too.
What do you got going on that day?
No, I'm just, I'm not worried. I have something going on. I'm going to be on daddy duty, but you know what? If I throw up a ground ball, come with me.
Heck yeah.
But, dude, May 4th, that's late.
It is late.
Like, there's people, seasons are about over.
Dude, a lot of seasons are over by May 4th. A lot.
That's just crazy sauce.
Our youth seasons, like, I think the weekend before is what, 27th? 27th, yeah. So, yeah, and then the 20th is our trip in West Virginia. So, if it were me and I was planning on hunting Pennsylvania and I really wanted to, like, go listen for a spot that I plan on killing a bird, I would tell you, go listen. Don't even bring your call with you unless it's an owl hooter or crow call.
I wouldn't even do any of that. I just go out and listen. Just literally, I'll let the woods wake up and listen for what you hear.
You'll hear them. I was out coyote hunting and I was listening to birds hammer on the roof the other day. Like, this was actually late January, early February. So they're gobbling.
Yeah, yeah.
But I would say early to mid April, probably. It's probably fair, kind of like what you're saying, 2 weeks before the season.
Yeah.
Would be mid April.
That's when I would plan to get out, and I probably won't get out until that last week before, but I'll probably go out 3 or 4 mornings before work and just sit there and listen.
That's nice, man. You just get out. Sometimes I don't even leave the truck. I just pull up to an area near where I think there'll be birds and just listen.
Yeah.
It's tough. Some of the spots like that I'll go and listen at aren't really spots that I usually hunt.
Yeah.
Spots that I'm hoping to find a bird to hunt.
I'm limited, though. I gotta be pretty close to work.
Yeah, see,
which there's a few spots I can go to that I can be close enough to work to make it, because I got to be at work at 7.
Yeah. It really depends, though. I mean, it's going to get light out a lot earlier in the next month.
Yeah.
So that helps you a little bit. But for me, hell, I don't really have to be at my desk until 8, and that's at home. So
nice.
Like, by 8 o'clock, I could pretty much go anywhere and listen for a half an hour.
Yeah.
You know?
I got a spot I need to go listen to also. I picked it up, 2 years ago? I picked up some turkey permission. I never went and hunted it. I went and scouted it once.
That's why you got to clean up your Onyx.
I never went and hunted it.
Did it look good?
Looked okay.
You think there's birds?
They had done some work in there. I'd hunted it before. I had permission a long time ago. And then I never went back. I had Anthony there. Anthony rolled a bird there.
Oh.
Called in 3 for him. And he rolled one. Never ended up getting that bird. But I hadn't been there. Hadn't talked to the landowner in years. Like, probably 6 or 7 years or something like that.
Hmm.
And I went back and got permission.
Cool.
So there's a new house that's built there, and they cut some trees and stuff like that. So it's another one of those spots I need to get into and just really put a little time into. There were always birds there. I mean, they might not be there anymore. I don't know. We'll see.
Imagine if he was shooting a gobbler guillotine out the end of his shotgun.
I'm surprised he didn't kill it.
Yeah.
He birds hammered it.
Tough,
dude. Yeah, I know. I think he body shot it.
It sounds like it.
Yeah, I think.
But he just dropped his barrel down.
Ran like crazy.
Did it fly away or did it just run?
No, it just ran. And he chased it like a madman.
Yeah, like a giant yeti.
Yeah, like a giant yeti. Yeah, it was a good day. I killed a bird that morning, then we went out to the second spot, and I called in 3 for him, and that's what happened. We almost doubled. That was good.
That would have been cool. He ruined it.
Yeah, it happened.
I was just talking to him the other day. We got to get together and do a turkey hunt this year. I haven't turkey hunted with him and years, and we used to go out religiously.
Dude, I turkey hunted with him opening day for like 5 years.
Oh, straight, yeah.
And then we just stopped turkey hunting. I don't know why.
He just stopped.
I think he just got busy with work and everything. It's that time of year.
Yeah.
And it's just hard.
It's easier now. He's not working like the road
on the road, right?
Anymore,
right.
So
working in the lab. I think
he wants to get back into it.
Attaboy.
Yeah, I'm pumped up. I'm fired up. I think I'm going to do more scouting and guiding this year than I'll do hunting, which is my typical, actually.
I'm excited for West Virginia. Mm-hmm. I'm not as excited for Pennsylvania. If I get out, I get out. I think I only turkey hunted twice in Pennsylvania last year. I wasn't all that excited, but yeah. I wasn't on a bunch of birds either, so I didn't really want to hammer them.
Come north with me.
I might.
I will show you the way.
I probably will.
If Boor listens, I was going to yell.
Does he have a trademark?
Yeah. Sorry, Boor.
I'll show him the way.
And then he would say, this is the way.
Yeah, this is the way. Yeah.
All right, let's get this thing wrapped up. Right. Another good episode. Guys, they're going to keep coming. We're trying to get back on a weekly basis for you. I know we went to like a bi-weekly schedule there for a little while. We want to continue to start pumping content. Well, I know we know turkey season's here. It's on the horizon for a lot of guys that are listening. It's coming up for us northern folk real quick. If you're traveling for turkey, let us know. If you got plans this spring, let us know. And if you want to hear more deer stuff,
let us know.
All right, man. That's all I got.
All right. Till next week.
The distraction is real.
Let's go.